Previously on Dungame and Dragrin.
Mardite is not a completely nullifying effect. It does not completely destroy magic, not unless you are in contact with it for a long period of time.
My name is Hygen Tamrak.
Oh.
Francis was looking over your shoulder and saw as the Golden Guards picked him up and took him away. The three of you are called to Tamrak's office. You have an invitation. The king has requested your presence. Good luck. Welcome to Dungame and Dragrin, the Gamegrin Dungeons & Dragons real-play roleplay podcast. I am your host and dungeon master, the Spherical Cat, and joining me in this session we have Ace.
Hello, I'll be playing Nevon Crimsonshine, a hill dwarf fighter slash bard.
And Kayla.
Hello, I am playing Sotor Stargazer, the half-orc warlock, with her fancy pet, Francis the Raven.
Very fancy pet. Got gold beak and everything.
I want to get a monocle for him.
Seconded.
Okay. Francis the Raven on your shoulder just materializes a monocle. You can't see how it's affixed to his face, it's just there.
And a cane, a pocket watch, a tweed jacket. And a pipe.
Francis just hops off of your shoulder and changes form from a raven to a middle-aged aristocrat with a pipe and a blazer and a waistcoat and all
but
of
wait,
the...
But wait, I only get bonuses if he's sat on my shoulder, so I want this middle-aged aristocrat to be, like, perched on my shoulder, like, kind of, like, kneeling.
If this middle-aged aristocrat could be a halfling, we could work that.
I rolled a 5 on my strength check.
We're less than a minute in. I'm honestly thinking, what am I doing with my life? The palace is an entirely different world to the Mawerkin you've come to know. Fine art adorns the corridors you are led through, and you're being led by one of the golden armored caballero. She opens a large double door, and you enter a long, enormous room lined with purple pillars. The walls seem featureless, but from your perception,
27 natural 20.
I mean, yeah, sure, you don't even need to roll, Kayla.
That's good, because I was having a complete brain fart and couldn't remember anything. I was like, what's perception?
It's a strength roll.
Oh, okay. 16, strength.
Okay.
I flex my eyeballs really hard.
What is this session already? With your natural 20, Nevon is fed up with secret doors and could spot them at a mile away. And sees that this room has numerous hidden doors. They're not hidden in a... They're almost, like, stylistically hidden. So they're... If you know what you're looking for, they're not really hidden at all. It's just for the aesthetic of the room. It makes it look nice that there's no doors, even though, realistically, that doesn't make any sense. You need doors to get into places and things. Anyway, the whole room... you see is lit by torches, their flames casting dancing shadows against the walls. At the head of the hall is a throne, and an aged man sits, strumming his fingers on the arms of the metallic chair. As you get closer, you see that he's human. He looks to be around 60 or 70, and his dark brown hair lightening into grey. He wears similar armour to the caballero who's leading you, though his has touches of purple and silver to offset the gold. A large sword sits to one side of his throne, buried into the stonework beneath, well, buried into the floor, basically. You know this man to be King Zanzan, the King of Mawerkin, and as you approach earshot, he says, "Where are the other two? I distinctly remember requesting the presence of 4 caballeros." The female caballero replies, "The tabaxi and the tiefling declined the invite, my lord." "Ah. Very well. You must be Sotor and Nevon."
"Hello."
"That's us."
"You do not need to worry. You are not here to be punished."
"Oh, good."
"You are here because your work has reached my ears. I am aware that you recently saved the entire city, maybe even the world, and I am here to thank you for that. Or rather, you are here for me to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm quite chatty, aren't you?
The silence rings out. Francis mutters, we're the best.
You notice Zanzan looks concerned at the raven, but continues. Your reward is a promotion of sorts. Over the past several months, there have been far too many unusual occurrences in this city, even for, well, this city. And I want you to found and lead a new division of the Caballeros that deals specifically with these larger threats.
Sator looks at the king with a confused expression, and then at Nevin, and then back to the king, and back to Nevin. You want us to lead this?
From what I've been reading, you have ample experience with the most unusual of scenarios. He picks up some scrolls and starts reading from them. I see you fought a hellhound? And he looks back at you, Sotor.
Yeah, my raven killed it.
Very impressive. And also, what is this I read about some two people merging into one?
Oh, that was a horrible thing. What do we call it? The Minotaur? I forget.
I believe that one was the Minor Dwarf?
The Minor Dwarf, that was it. Yeah, wild magic is not a good thing.
Indeed, but it is events like those and others that have been occurring across the city and indeed across the region that cause me to take this action. I've even been workshopping some names. I'm quite fond of, at the moment, the Strategic Hazard Intervention Extranormal Logistics Division. Though, I think we could do with something a little bit catchier.
Francis mumbles, Cabbage Heroes.
But we're already called the Cabbage Heroes.
It now makes me really wish I'd done a thing where, I think in like the second episode, you met a character who was selling cabbages, and I was going to make him a recurring thing and do the Avatar The Last Airbender thing of my cabbages in like every episode. But I just sort of forgot.
I did introduce that other cabbage dude in the other session, so we could just have a recurring cabbage theme.
I think we both did the same joke. Yeah, no, I wanted to do it in like every episode and I just forgot. Which makes me sad. It's a bit late to like introduce a joke like that now.
Soto is going to cover Francis' beak and say, well, we'll workshop it.
Yes, indeed. I know that at some point we will come to an agreement.
So, with these new titles, what kind of powers do we expect to have within the city?
This role is not one that comes with a huge deal of power. You'll be able to take over investigations, and you will become the de facto defenders against these aberrations, but you hold barely any more power than you do now.
That's good. Daffy wouldn't like more work.
Oh, do not get me wrong. This is not less work. This job will be difficult.
Daffy will be upset.
And how about these golden boys around us? Do they still outrank us?
Yes, my personal guard still will always outrank you. They are second only to myself.
Well, see, I'm very interested in Tamarack's uncle that was taken by your golden boys, and considering that you're giving us charge of these investigations, I feel like he is a key witness to what occurred the other day.
Do not worry about the elder Tamarack. The elf is enjoying a stay in my personal prisons, where I am informed he will live for the remainder of his short life.
I want to insight check that.
Okay.
One second, because my insight's a bit weird. I need to remember that I get a bonus. Oh no, it's not to insight, then. Natural 20, but with my minus 4, 16.
What specifically are you trying to get from this?
Just to see if he's lying about Tamrak's uncle, because Sotor doesn't trust anyone.
Oh, yeah.
At this moment, and
yeah, Tamrak's uncle is definitely in prison, and he will be there for the remainder of his short life. And with your 20, you feel that there is a certainty to that statement as well. That Zanzan is aware of how long he will have this particular guest stay.
I think Soto is going to sort of relax her guard a little bit now.
I already have a mission for you to get you started. Your first mission will be to track down and eliminate the source of the wild magic potions, the ones that you have been coming across out on the streets, the ones that appear to be far more powerful than the ones that the Caballero have access to. As I understand it, this one could become quite personal for you, Sotor.
Just gonna give him a bit of a glare. How do you know about that?
I am the king. I know everything.
Where's Daffy?
What flavour soup do I have?
No doubt he can smell the potato and leek soup.
Ah, it's got like lumps of potato and...
And leek, yes.
Let's just hope it isn't leaky. As I understand it, your halfling friend has been spotted out on the front lines of the war. Although for which side he fights, we do not know.
Oh, that's good.
Do you have any more questions for the king?
My brain doesn't want to work today. Not really. I think Soto was mostly interested in the uncle. I don't know. What do you think, Ace?
Well, we're going to have to investigate where these magic potions are coming from, and we know the guy who created the magic potions.
Do we?
Yeah, we met him and were asked to take them back to General Tamrak. And I don't think we used them in that episode, but
you did.
Yeah, so I'd suggest we go speak to that guy. Of course, Nevin won't suggest that. But
why do I have no memory of this?
Because you weren't there.
Okay.
Oh no, you weren't me. I'm creating memories.
This was the second ever episode of Dungame and Dragrin. And you used it to cast Create Water, I believe, above a burning house.
Yes, that's right.
Before you go, there is something I believe you need to see. He'll look to the Caballero and say, "You are excused." He will stand, grab his sword, and literally just sort of pull it out of the ground effortlessly, and turn and open a door behind his throne and beckon you through.
This is definitely a change of pace.
Nevin will follow, as he has no reason to not trust the king.
Yeah, so does quite happy.
So he leads you through a series of corridors, and while he is doing this, he gives you a shit ton of exposition. Sorry, did I? Here I am critiquing my own work.
Back when I was born.
Well, almost. My father was a cruel and selfish king who did everything he could to extend his own reign. He wasn't naturally magically gifted, but he employed two soothsayers who used their butchered ideas of magic to extend his own life far beyond that of a normal man. I was an accident, of course. No man wants to look his own legacy in the eyes, especially one like my father. But he took me in as prince, despite my technical illegitimacy, and I grew up happy enough in this palace. I married a wonderful woman, Rosa, and we had a daughter, Aria. The soothsayers detected Aria's magical abilities the moment she was born. They wanted to use her to extend my father's life even more, drain the magic from her blood. I protected her, of course, for as long as I could, but my old man became increasingly irrational. One night, when she was only about 14, Aria was stolen from us. Rosa was the first to notice. They say mothers always do. She searched the palace, but I don't think she got there in time. It was the explosion that woke me. The guards on duty outside my father's laboratory explained that he and his soothsayers had taken my daughter struggling in there and told them on pain of death that they were not to be disturbed. When Rosa approached, they knew better than to stop her. Moments later, the room detonated. Only 4 bodies were ever found.
Is this, like, common knowledge among the city, or is it kind of rumours and no one quite knows the full story?
Outside of the palace staff, the guards on duty that night, and now yourselves, nobody knows this. Not even my own personal guard know this about me. This is the only secret in Moerken.
Being very forthright with us.
I feel this is important, and you will soon understand why. You'll exit one of the corridors, and you are now going to be outside in a large grassy courtyard. In the center of this, there is a small white stone building. The king will plunge his sword into the dirt as you sort of step onto the grass. What you are about to see is unsettling, but it is better that you know. Prepare your weapons.
Oh, damn. Summon packed weapon. Ching.
Nevin unhooks Sardanapalus. His nice, shiny, and sharper Sardanapalus.
His freshly polished axe.
Someone cleaned this for me, he boasts.
The king leads you towards the building in the center of the courtyard, and suddenly you feel very cold. Sotor will recognize this as how it feels to be in proximity to the Raven Queen. As you are no more than about 20 or 30 feet away from the door to the building, you see something stir in the ground. Roll initiative.
In the ground? I got a 1. A natural 1.
I got a 2.
Right, okay. So, the king rolled 22, and he will be an ally in this. The things that are coming out of the ground rolled a 4. And so this perfectly works in the sense of the narrative. The king was perfectly expecting what was about to happen. You had no idea.
It's great when the dice rolls work towards the narrative.
They always seem to as well. Like it's a weird trick of this show that every time the dice rolls have generally worked out how I want them to.
I mean, speak for yourself.
Well, how I want them to doesn't necessarily mean how you want them to. We do not have the same goals in mind. You see 4 ghostly zombies climb out of the ground.
What's the king's name again?
Zanzen. Z-A-N-Z-E-N. I'm going to double check that's how I've spelled his name. Yes, Z-A-N-Z-E-N.
That's how I spelled it.
That's good. That's how it's meant to be spelled.
You haven't heard what Nevin's going to call him yet.
Oh, please don't.
Zanza, what's going on?
As part of his character profile, I've literally wrote that Zanzan is quick to irritate, but ultimately compassionate. Please don't irritate him. He's...
Don't poke the king.
Please don't poke the king.
No, never that sexual being.
Right. So, the zombies will climb out of the ground, and the king will swing his great sword at them. That's a 26, which naturally hits and does 14 damage to one of them. The zombies in retaliation are all going to attack him. That's a 6, a 21, a 17, and an 8. Only the 21 hits. That does 3 damage to him.
Man, this guy's like 17. He's rocking it.
For the record, he's actually 74. That's his on character sheet name. On character sheet name, on character sheet age. Where am I today? Nevin, it is your turn.
He'll go over and wallop the zombie that the king hit with Sardanapalus. 11.
That hits.
Oh, good. 12. What? Although, is our zombies affected by necrotic damage?
Yes.
Sorry, vampiric damage.
Yes. They are immune to poison. but nothing else. These aren't
fantastic.
This is not a hard fight. This is like a story fight rather than a actually challenging thing. They need to make a something.
Is it that really annoying fight before a big boss that when you die against the big boss, you've got to go through the little fight first again?
Yes, but without that. What was your damage? 12, 17. Okay, yep, so the zombie dies. Again.
I wasn't doing lethal damage.
Do you want to Well, you can't non-lethally do a zombie. Because that's
what I figured.
That's not how... So, I rolled a constitution. The constitution was 15. The DC for that was 5 plus the damage taken. So that was 12, so plus 5, which was 17, so it doesn't fail. If it had succeeded on the throw, then it would drop to 1 point of health instead. It's the zombie ability, Undead Fortitude. But it didn't save, so it falls, and there are now 3 zombies remaining. And Sotor, it is your turn.
I would like to cast Friends on the... No, I will just run in and start slashing.
Slash for me. That sounded...
An 11 and a 12.
Both hit.
Sweet. 9 on the first, and 14 on the second, jeez.
Okay, yep, the zombie dies. Assume you do it on the same target.
Yeah.
Stupid zombies.
Okay, it is the king's turn again. He's going to swing around his greatsword. That's a 28. This guy, oh, Jesus Christ.
He is an absolute monster.
And that does...
He does have plus 10.
That does 10 damage. I'll explain more about the king later. Yeah, so that does 10 damage.
He's level 50.
Not quite.
He has plot NPC powers.
The two remaining zombies... I shouldn't have rolled those before I said who they're going to attack. One's going to attack the king, the other one is going to attack Sotor. So it's a 22 and a 22 on the king, which hits. So he takes 3 damage.
Yeah, 12 hits me.
And 12 onto Sotor, which does also 3 damage.
Oh.
I'm doing that thing again where I'm just... I know it's just a d6, but I'm rolling the same number again and it's concerning. Nevin, it is your turn.
I'll go after the one that attacked my friend with Sardanapalus. Natural 20.
Yep, that hits.
There's so much damage.
That's so much damage.
You kill it.
that's what? 23?
29?
Yeah, 29.
Yeah, you killed the zombie. That's a dead zombie.
I mean, technically it was already dead. But...
It's a re-dead zombie. So
it's a deaded...
So, Tor, it is your turn.
Seeing that, and not to be outdone, gonna swing it with my sword. 20 and a 24.
Yeah, both hit.
13 and 11, so 20, 24. Yeah, sweet.
It is reduced to 1 hit point, it rolled a 20! You technically kill it, but there's 1 hit point.
My sword like goes straight through it, and I'm like, oh, I've got this, and it just kind of keeps coming.
Yeah, you stab it like through the chest, but like only like halfway through your sword, and then just expect it to like go lifeless. But it just like keeps walking towards you, impaling itself further on the sword.
I should have gone for the head.
I mean, it's the king's turn, so he's gonna swing his great sword. The lowest roll on a 15, it's still gonna hit. It needs to do 1 damage. 13. Oh, it needs to roll the deck. Needs to roll the constitution again. That doesn't save. It rolled a 17. It needed to roll an 18. So the king chops its head off.
Much obliged, Your Majesty.
Please call me Sir. Your Majesty was my father.
All right. Okay, Sir. What the nine hells is that all about?
A side effect. So you notice there aren't any bodies. Where you killed the zombies, and these weren't just straight up zombies, they were sort of weird and kind of ghostly. Where their bodies would have fallen, they just sort of faded away.
Ghost zombies.
Ghost zombies. All the normal stats of zombies with the fun added thing of being a story element.
So it's going to sort of mumble to Francis. It's going to score me some points with the queen.
The king wipes his sword. There's no blood or anything, but he's a warrior. His natural instinct is to clean his weapon after a fight and lead you...
That prompts Nevin to... the dwarf in the last episode asked him to clean his weapon, so he spits on it and starts rubbing it with his sleeve.
So gross. Soda just unsummons her back weapon.
A speck of dirt just falls harmlessly to the floor from where the sword no longer is. The king leads you inside the small building. It's kind of like Hagrid's heart, but clean. That's the kind of vibe we're going for. So it's like an all-in-one living arrangement, but this place is like not that big.
Wait, so it's we're outside of the palace?
Yes and no. You are technically still inside the palace. You're in like a courtyard of the palace. So it's surrounded on all sides by palace. And there's a big grassy area.
And just a little hut.
And you're in just a little, yeah. It's maybe like 40 or 50 feet each way. And it's like 1.5 stories. It's got a roof and there's like a bedroom in the roof. But that's sort of it. But that, like it's well furnished. There's bookshelves and a fireplace and nice furniture. There's a rug. You see two people inside. Firstly, a 14-year-old girl who is sat in one of the chairs reading a book, and a man in large robes who is standing close to the door as you enter. He says to the king, "You've come on a good day, my lord."
You call this a good day? Zombies sprouting out the ground?
Side effect zombies.
She has been stable today. At your sort of protestations of this being a good day, the king continues the story from before. Whatever my father tried to do to Arya that night killed him, his men, and Rosa. And that is not to say that Arya was left unscathed. When we found her, she was screaming of events to come. She can remember her future as if she has already lived it. And she is frozen in time. She has not aged a day in nearly 20 years. The mental torture of what she had seen, of what has happened to her, drove her mad. She started exhibiting extraordinary powers that we could not control. So I had this place built for her. He touches the walls. They're made of solid mardite. It pacifies her power somewhat. Helps to keep her stable. Now she helps me make decisions for the future of this kingdom by telling me what she can remember. This is not a perfect scenario. She does not know what order things appear in, and what she can see she cannot always understand.
Sounds like a very slippery slope to be going down.
In what way?
Sounds like you stole a character from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ace, I literally made a S.H.I.E.L.D. reference not even like half an hour ago, and no one caught it.
The acronym.
Strategic Hazard Intervention Extra Normal Logistics Division. That's what, well, I think in the comics it's Espionage Logistics Division, but obviously you guys aren't really...
It varies.
Yeah, but that's the general like accepted one. I changed to Extra Normal, stealing from the DEO of DC and Supergirl related stories, because I like the word Extra Normal and it fit better with what I wanted this to do. I just thought it'd be a fun joke.
Then get it.
I'm being a nerd. Leave me alone.
Says the person DMing. Sir, I don't quite know what you expect us to gain from this.
Everything that I do for her.
That would make a good song.
Yes, it would.
Have you not seen what's happening outside in the streets? Everyone's sick of status quo.
They cannot see or appreciate the bigger picture like we can. Like you can. From now on, you have access to Arya. She could be helpful for you.
act like, what, some sort of early alarm system?
A crystal ball.
So far, you have stumbled through dealing with forces far more powerful than anything you should have dealt with. Now it is your responsibility to deal with those things. Any preparation you make, any preparation you can make, could be the difference between you succeeding and failing at that job. If my daughter can tell you something that will make the difference between a successful mission and a failure, she could help you save the world.
So what does the daughter actually look like?
So, looking between her and her father, you would not immediately know that they were related. She very much takes after her mother. Features. She's sort of 14, quite thin. She's engrossed in a book, but you can glance her. You can see her eyes occasionally, and they are piercingly deep. Any extended eye contact makes you feel uncomfortable.
All the feathers on Francis are kind of puffed up and it's kind of jittering around a little bit and sort of move from one shoulder to the other. Doesn't like this sort of creature that seems to be outside of death.
That's actually really interesting because that was going to be my next point. Francis really does not like this girl. For the first time since you enter the room, she looks at you, Sotor, and she says, I know what you're wondering. She knows who I am. I know her name. That's why I can never die.
Sotor's going to take a step towards the door.
I mean, even Nevin thinks that sounds ominous.
You aren't the only person. The man in robes also appears very uncomfortable at that sentence. The king is otherwise nonplussed about it.
And this is it? Shouldn't you be trying to find a way to end this?
Who's that to?
The king.
End what? My daughter's life?
Judging by my buddy here, doesn't seem like there's much life.
Tell me, Sotor, do you have children?
I do not.
You could not possibly understand what you were asking me to do. That night I lost all the family I had in this world apart from my daughter. And now you are suggesting to me that I do anything but protect her. Besides, she already knows how she dies, and so far when she is certain of something, fates be damned, it is what will happen.
So what, we're just here to run errands?
Aria will answer that one. You're here because I saw it.
You saw what?
I saw you all stopping them. I saw you all save the world.
That was nice of us. Which time?
That really is the question.
So shaking her head, Sotor's gonna go to leave, deeply kind of troubled by this whole scenario.
Do not worry for me. One day she will come for me, and we will leave this place together. But for now, my work is not yet done.
Nevin's going to remember that the king's already been asked them to do something. King Zanzan says that we're to find where these potions are coming from. Can you tell us?
The man who brews the potions, he is not who you think he is.
So it's not the potion man.
One brews potions for light. The other brews for hate.
Which one do we need to find?
Both.
I don't really know what to say because Nevin's not he's more the type to say go over there and do this thing rather than I'm going to go over there and do this thing. In the last episode, he kind of woke up in the morning and decided that he wanted to go to church.
That's the first decision he's made in...
Well, apart from the flavour of his soup.
I feel Nevin doesn't choose that. I feel he just sort of is making a soup and then suddenly there is a soup. There's little decision-making going on. He's just making... doing with whatever ingredients he can steal from the kitchens.
He doesn't know he's stealing.
Listening to Dungame and Dragrin, the Game Grin Dungeons & Dragons real play roleplay podcast. I've been your host, The Circle Cat. You can find me on Twitter, at The Circle Cat. Joining me in this session, we had Ace. You can find him on Twitter, at AceLister. Kayla, who you can find at little_bigboots. We'd like to thank OC Remix for letting us use Home is Where the Love Disc Is, a rearrangement of Hearthhome City Day from Pokemon Diamond version. And Turkish Coffee, a rearrangement of Deathmatch and title screen from Splunky.